All right, we're in 1 Corinthians. You see it? Would you read with me? Let's stand together in honor of God's Word. And I want you to read with me verse 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Everyone, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, we need the victory. There's a lot of defeat and there's a war going on. And you know what I learned? I learned the devil's not shooting marshmallows. They're fiery darts. They hurt. And you know, one of the biggest warfare battlefields today is the family. When I first went to Germany and all these other 20 countries where I've ministered, you know, there used to be families. You had a mommy, you had a daddy, and the children had the same mommy and the same daddy year after year after year. I came back. It's an endangered species in my country. While I was out trying to help other countries, my own country was falling apart. We're going to talk about family tonight. I'm so glad God gives a victory. You got to take it. But He has it for our homes. Let's pray. Father, thank You for allowing us to be here today. It's so special. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for hope and help. Thank You for victory that's ours. May we take it and receive it and live it. Help us in our homes and families in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I talked this morning about spending more than a dollar at the Dollar Tree for your Bible, you know, and just get a little nicer one, you know, with study notes and things. And I said, you know, you might end up spending $30, $40, $50, $60, $100 for a really nice, fancy Bible, Moroccan leather, you know, which is goatskin, Moroccan leather. Or, you know, calfskin or something nice because some. But, you know, some people do get carried away. And Pastor's one of those, honey. Did you know you do? I never have seen I haven't seen an iPad yet for $1,500. Hadn't seen, not on eBay or anywhere. Google never has shown me one. And so he spent the most of anybody I know to get his Bible. I mean, if that's the only reason he got, you know, that, he's expensive. All right, tonight we're talking about strengthening our families, and there are choices. Now, according to what I choose, there are consequences that come my way. There are choices and consequences. And what we want, what I want, and we didn't know if we were going to have any children, but I prayed when we got married. I prayed for three girls. You see, why girls? Because I always did like. I don't understand boys that don't know the girls are wonderful. You ought to get you one. I knew that. But so we prayed. And also, my wife thought that all boys were rascals. I told them just some boys, not all boys. And so we prayed for three girls, and God gave us Joy and Jill and Jana serving the Lord today. And we got grandchildren. We got Joshua and got Christy. And all of a sudden, you know, they're no longer two. All of a sudden, they're coming up on 20. How's that happen? You blink, and all of a sudden. And some of you have great grandchildren. And families, important. You know, those of you that are here, teenagers, and I get excited around teenagers. Woo! And some boys and girls here. Do you know that there are others looking at you? Do you know there are those that they don't listen to me so much, or pastor, or somebody older, but they're watching you. You have an influence as a teenager, as a young person, on somebody else. You don't start serving God when you're a certain age. You get saved, you start serving God right then. Now, if you want the blessings of God, you got to choose to have them. And there's we sing that song, Showers of Blessings. That's what we want on our families. Read with me, please, Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. Everybody see it? Let's read it together. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. You say, I like that, I like that, I want these blessings. But it's not automatic. If it was, we wouldn't be in the mess we are in our country. You say, well, the problem's in the White House. I think it's in everybody's house. I think it's in our homes and in our families. The Bible says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. And what is the big word? If. It's conditional. If thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. You know, when I was over, I lived in a real fancy place. I told you, Moonkiss Corners this morning outside of Omaha. Went out to Benson High School in Omaha. You know what the others told me? They told me if you serve God, you can't have any fun. Can't have any fun. Can't do this, can't do that. Can't. One of those that believed that mess committed suicide. And there were those in our church youth group that chose to go a different way. And the consequences of a ruined, battered, broken life. But I'm so thankful, sweetheart, that we chose to go God's way. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice, and in Deuteronomy chapter 30, can you see it? I call heaven and earth to record. Read it with me. I have set before Ralph. Hey, wouldn't you read your Bible? Would you make it real to you? This whole thing moves, preacher. This pulpit goes back and forth, and there's an alarm clock up here. Is that thing set to go off? Tell you what, I'm scared to death of those things. Because, I mean, they're nice to have, but I like to ignore them, you know. But I have set before Ralph, hey, you know, when you hear preaching, you say, well, that was a good message, preacher. Well, it's not good till you put it into practice in your life. It's a matter of making the Bible. Put your name, if it's a warning, if it's a promise, if it's a call, whatever it is to learn, put your name in there. I have said before Ralph and Mariana, and the rice is life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. So we have to make some choices. You say, well, I did. You know what? It's a daily deal. It's a daily deal of making the choice to go God's way. It's not just once for all. That's a good start. But you continue on the journey. Now, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. That's a good word. You don't hear a lot of preaching about godliness. People say, oh, well, we don't believe in legalism. We're free. We are free to do right. We're free to live right. Never to let the flesh reign. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. 1 Timothy chapter 4. But bodily exercise profiteth little. Now there's profit. You say, Brother Rice, you believe in it? Oh, I do, I do. I have bought exercise equipment. Yeah. It's a lot easier to buy it than use it. Did you know that at the Salvation Army or at the Goodwill thrift store, do you know one of the main things people give back to them? Unused brand new exercise equipment. Treadmills, bikes, exercise. You know, they have good intentions. But bodily exercise profit is sound. It makes a difference. And, you know, I just lost 52 pounds in the last 4 or 5 months. I heard this Dr. Oz say something about this deal that it didn't take too much exercise. And you get this Garcinia Cambogia and you just take it before meals and it lets your willpower kick in. You got to make the decision, but it takes your appetite. Well, I haven't been hungry in 5 months. So I've just been pulling back, except at lunch. But we split. Did you notice? My wife and I said, bring an extra plate. We didn't have to cut it. They cut it. I think they gave us a little more than half. That was a pretty good deal over there, Chili, today. That was good. But you know, in order to keep my neck and my stomach and everything fitting in the right place, I do a little exercise, honey. Yeah, we got an exerciser in the RV. Of course, we don't use it much, but a little bit. There is better. Hey, it's little in comparison to spiritual things. In comparison. Because godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and also the life that is to come. Now, we want it. Blessings from God. There are some challenges we face, every one of us. And I would ask, please, that right now, every one of you draw a circle around you, please. And say, well, you know, I wish so-and-so was here tonight. They're not here. You're here. You say, well, I hope the person in front of me or beside me or behind me is listening. Hey, don't worry about them. Would you please just draw a circle in your mind right now about you? And let's think about ourselves. There are some challenges that we must face if we want to experience God's blessings. And the first I just want to mention briefly is the challenge of 1 Corinthians 13, love. You know, the world in Hollywood, they call lust love. Boy, I tell you what, I wanted to get married pretty bad. And when I asked her to marry me, and she said, no, 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 day after day and week after week, that was tough. 13 months before she finally said yes. Then we were engaged for a while, a couple years, before we finally. Man, I was old. I was almost 22. You were almost 21 before we finally did it 52 years ago, something like that. But I want to tell you, love. I want to tell you that so many people, lust just takes and then throws it away. Well, I don't like him. I don't love her anymore. Well, you know, I didn't get what I thought. Well, it's better or worse, but it's worse than I thought. Well, I don't have to put up with that. Listen, I want to tell you, love gives. Love is willing to be patient. Love is kind. And we need in our homes God's kind of love. And I think it's so important for us to remember that 1 Corinthians talks about, and the word charity, of course, in our usage today, it's love suffereth long. It's not easily provoked. Well, I just get upset. Well, I think God can help you to be a little slower at getting upset. Right? It's not easily provoked. Rejoiceth in the truth, beareth a few things. Oh, I'm good at a few things. Yeah, I do good. How about you? But it doesn't say a few things. Beareth all things. Now, my wife, she's all ready to come here from where we're parked over there at the RV parking. So we get started on our way over there, and we go by those weird arrows up in there. I don't know. I got still not approving those things. I don't know. Well, it's spooky-wooky to me. Well, we get past there, and we're already on our way here. I forgot the computer. And so we turn around. I say, man, it's going to be pretty close. The people are going to be coming in, and I like it all set up where I can shake hands and say, hi, how are you? Who are you? Well, you were here this morning. I met you, didn't I? You work at so-and-so. Oh, really? Yeah. But you know what? All of a sudden, ha! And you know, some women would have said, you dummy, how come you didn't check your head everything? You know, and you want me to get out here? Blah, 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 blah. Hey, I got enough problems without problems at home. I thank the Lord for the patience that that woman puts up. You know, so many people say, how do you live with him? She says, in God's grace. Yeah. So, love suffereth long. How do you do on that? With your family, with your parents, with your kids. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Hey, it just doesn't run out. You know what it used to be preaching? When I started preaching, when I was 17, 18 years old, I won't tell you that there were at the altar, there was a bunch of people, but they were women. You know who was sitting up on the edge of their seats listening? While the men, you know, the men were thinking about women, girls, cars, jobs, stuff, and the men were, you had their body, but you didn't have their brains, you know? And the women, they were, big change in our lifetime. You're not as old as me, but you're getting there. You keep working on it. You'll make it. All right. So here's the deal. Today, in all of our meetings across the country, the women, tough, younger women, teenage girls, many, hard. And the boys and the men are the ones saying, help. Boy, I need God's help. There's a change. Listen, I want to tell you, it's important in our families, men, women, children. We never needed more than today God's help. What kind of love do you have in your home? You say, well, Brother Rice, your grandchildren, do they do what you want sometime? You really love them. When they do what I want them to do, yeah. Well, what about when they don't? They're still my grandchildren. I still love them. I don't have to approve everything, but I love them. Y'all with me on this? 1 Corinthians 13. So, no use to go on to point two if they hadn't got point one. Okay, we'll go on. Number two, there is a challenge you and I have of encouragement. You know, the world's filled with cold water. Just poking holes in our bubble. Every time we get happy or anything, they try and steal our joy or knock us down or put us down. Most every joke is cutting something or somebody down. This world puts you down. Do you know, home ought to be the best place. Home ought to be the place like church where you get encouraged. And encouragement, it ought to thrive at home. Proverbs chapter 12. Heaviness in the heart maketh it stoop. Boy, now if you don't have any problems, you don't ever get discouraged, come see me, please. See my wife. We got enough to spread. We can give you some. You know, I mean, if you don't have any problems or challenges, in the last 10, 15 years, we have had over 40 tow trucks. Yeah. In one last June, a year ago, coming from South Carolina through Arkansas, Tennessee, and into Texas. We had what? In 7 days, we had 5 tow trucks? You say, that can't happen. Hey, I want to tell you, this is the world. You go for God. I want to tell you, there will be some trials. There will be some troubles. But it's very important that you go God's way, and it's important that we encourage each other. You say, Brother Rice, you need encouragement?
Yeah.
Yeah. You say, you've been blessed by Pastor and his wife and talking to them and looking into their eyes? Yeah. You say, you mean that you leaving here blessed by us? Well, no, I mean, yeah, you too, but mostly Pastor and his wife. Every one of us need encouragement. And especially our boys and girls and our young people need encouragement. There's a little girl in the Philippines, and there was a program. We had about 1,000 people out in the audience, and it was in Cebu, on the island of Cebu and Cebu City. And we were at what the Bible says, a Baptist church, and she gave a reading. And she had a microphone, one of those great big old-fashioned ones, and it was wrapped around her neck. Man, it was big as she was. And she gave a poem or something about her mother dying or something, and in the poem. And her tears came out. She really was thinking what she was saying. And tears came out of her eyes. I thought, whoa. So after it was all over, people coming up, you want to sign your Bible and then stuff. But you know what? Excuse me. And I went my way through the crowd, and I found that little girl. Now, she looked like 4, but I guess she was 7 or 8. Yeah, they're just real short. And I went to her, and I had prayer with her, and I said, God can use you, honey. Woo, God can use you. You say, well, did you ever see her again?
Yeah. A
couple of years later, I was in that school again. I went, guess you see, where'd you go? I went looking for her. What was her name, honey? Roselle, that's right. And so we come back, and then I take my sweetheart with me. And then all of a sudden we had a meeting because we started the first school on ACE in the Philippines. And we come back, and I prayed for 50, and then God gave us 100, and then 200. Then I asked God for 500. Well, when we were just there a couple years ago, all the teachers and pastors, a lot of them, came to the meeting in Manila, and we had over 4,000 teachers and Christian workers in that meeting. Guess who was in the second row? Yeah, yeah! There was Roselle teaching in a Christian school. You say, she there now? No. Where is she? China. A missionary in mainland China. And I want to tell you, these young people, you don't know what God can do with these. You say, well, you were supposed to be singing and you were praying for Paul and his kids? Yeah. Because who knows? You say, well, it's a mighty work that God's doing through the parents. Yeah, but you don't know what God wants to do through that girl and through that boy and what God can do. Encouragement we all need. A good word maketh it. Hey, are you a specialist at this? You say, well, Brother Rice, people say that I'm not perfect. They know that. But they do say I'm a real encourager. Hey, would people tell me that in the church, you're just like a bright light of encouragement? In your home, would they tell me that about you? Or is this something you need to ask God? Say, oh, God, help me to be more of an encourager. Now, here's another challenge going on quickly because I don't know, but breakfast, I do love breakfast. I eat a nice lunch and I have a big breakfast and then I don't eat too much late. You know, late, I like, that's how I got rid of a lot of weight, but not eat too much late. But I do want to finish in time for breakfast, sweetheart, because I have that appointment in my mind, you know, so we got to move on. The challenge of instruction and worship. We talked about this morning God's Word. Talked about a Christian school. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, and daily in every temple, every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Every house and in the church, teaching and preaching. You got Christian education at church, Christian education at home. And I thank God for your school. Some of you haven't. Listen, I want to tell you, when you leave here tonight, you need to start praying for your Christian school for a new school year. Has it started yet? Just about to start. Well, I want to tell you, you need to pray. Some of you have. Some of you used to. So you need to get more in prayer for this school and for the staff and for God's Word. And some of you volunteer and help and give to support. I want to tell you, it's important. Ministry of the church and Christian education home. And when I tell you what I see in the Bible, I see a church school and a home school. That's what I see. Now, home school is not for everybody. And I've seen many missionaries that it was a perfect answer for them and some it wasn't. And we homeschool for some time. And sometimes it's the perfect thing for one child, but not for everybody. It's all different. But I want to tell you, what God shows us is the home educating and the church educating. And we need to be very active in committing our prayers to pray for our boys and girls. Sunday school, youth camp, vacation, Bible school, children's church, everything. Especially the hours that there are in a Christian school. Tremendous. Oh, here's another one. I'd like to just pass over this. Preacher, I call this a painful point. A painful point. I don't want to think about this. I'd just like to talk about something else because this one is hard. I do so good sometimes, honey. I wouldn't mind you looking at me and watching me. In my family, I had these spies, Joy, Jill, and Janet. And I had staff, like Brother Forrest Walker that we talked about at lunch today, working with me. I had about 65 around ACE and then overseas. And these people, they see things I don't want them to see. They see me when I am not happy. They see me when Mr. Smiley's smile is gone. Hey, I want to tell you, we need to be an example. Sweetheart, you raised the kids. I was gone 36 weeks a year, and I was in an ambush in the Philippines. Everybody in the car beside me was murdered. She never knew if I'm coming home in a body bag or what. But I want to tell you, for 36 weeks out of 52, for many years, she raised the children. I wasn't there. So I want to tell you, she had to walk with God herself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whether I'm there, whether I'm not there. You say, Brother Rice, you're in Tahiti or Fiji, or you're just 100 miles from Paris, or you're in Trier, or somewhere else, or Passau, or something. And what about, listen, it's 24 hours a day. You say, well, I'm on vacation. You don't take a vacation from God. You take a vacation with God. Y'all with me? Boy, I meet so many children. You say, Brother Rice, you go to homes for troubled youth. When Katrina hit, we were in New Orleans area. And several homes where we ministered were destroyed during that. Last week, we were in Oklahoma near Eufaula. And it's Calvary Baptist Boys Ranch. And boys and young men that are in trouble, that have been on drugs or runaway or rebellious or whatever come there. And I speak to hundreds and thousands of girls at the girls' homes in Mississippi and Florida or other places. And I want to tell you, so many of them are bitter. Their parents said one thing but did something else. Their parents, don't you do this, but the parents did that. And the parents were one way around the preacher. And as soon as they got in the car and drove away from church, the language changed. Attitudes changed. Well, I want to tell you, we will never see in our lives the blessings of God until we get it together, you and I. It doesn't matter who you are in that circle tonight. Each of us, 24 hours a day. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 9. To make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. The Apostle Paul talked about following him as he followed Christ. And you know, well, so many say, well, don't do as I do, just do as I... That's a hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. So important. It's a painful point. Isn't it? With our temper, with our words, with our reactions, with our... Oh, here's another one. Challenge of influence. Some of you young people say, well, my parents, they want to know everything. They don't trust me. I want to tell you, they trust your new nature. They just don't trust the flesh. I don't trust my flesh. You say, your wife, she's almost an angel, almost, but not 100%. Yeah, and your internet, you've got a Christian service provider. You know, you can set codes and you can set all the protection. Yeah, but the problem is, you said it, I don't trust you either. By the way, you can always find sin if you want it, but with pornography and all that stuff today, you don't even have to go looking for sin. Sin comes looking for you. I want to tell you, it's very important, very, very important, that we help one another and we're accountable. And you parents, you better know exactly where your children are. And if you have a parent, young person here, and they want to know who you are and who you're with, then no, you don't go to that house. You can bring them over here, but you're not going there. They love you. They care for you. Well, what are you listening to? What are you doing there? Hey, if you're doing good, you don't have to be ashamed. What are you hiding? If you got some music or something you shouldn't be listening to, you shouldn't have it. So it's a very, very important thing that all of us be careful of the influence. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You hang around the wrong things, the wrong people. I want to tell you, sooner or later, you're going to get in real big trouble, going to be taken out by the world and by sin. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. See, who made music? God. God, read your Bible. Filled with singing and music and praise and instruments for glorious praise to the Lord. The devil came along and said, hey boys, think we can use this. It's a pretty powerful force. And I want to tell you that it doesn't matter how old you are. I know some people that are at my age, 74 about, and I found some people that are elderly, senior citizens, that have messed up their life, walked away from God and family. This is not something that's just in use. It's a matter that the world is destroying lives and testimonies and homes and churches. The devil's open for business. Tonight, when we leave this building, this week that's ahead, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh Ralph to devour. Hey, what would you make the Bible yours? Make it personal when you read your Bible. He's seeking, he's looking, and music's so powerful. Powerful, powerful force. Satan has found it very, very effective. You say, well, Brother Rice, you know, I love the Lord. I meet thousands of young people, 200,000 now, you know. And I meet a lot of young people. And of course, they know some things their parents don't know. And their parents think that M&M is candy. And think that Kanye West is just somewhere in Wyoming. Or think that Good Charlotte's a nice girl instead of four guys. And they just they think that 50 Cent is two quarters, and they don't have an idea what's going on. Boy, in one of my meetings, this great big guy with hands as big as you could imagine, he comes up to me and he says, "Hey," he said, "I want to tell you something." I said, "Yeah, I'm listening. You know, I want this guy to be my friend, not my enemy." He said, "You know what you said about music and stuff?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "How do you know all that stuff?" He said, you got to be 50. I said, thank you. Long past. Yeah, thanks. He said, I'm under contract right now to M&M. And he said, on 50 Cent's last CD that was released, my name is on the back of that CD. I'm rapping. I'm under contract. I just got saved right with God. And he said, my contract's running out next year. But he said, I'm thinking, how does that guy know what's going on? It's because I'm with young people and they tell me what took them down, and the grunge and the heavy metal. And one girl came to me, 16 years old, beautiful girl, just weeping. By the way, when that mascara starts, I'm scared of it too. You know, it just runs like everything down. And she's weeping. And she hands me, she says, "Help me!" And she hands me an album. In there is 12 CDs. And the nicest thing of any of them is, "Shoot me again, I ain't dead yet." And I'm telling you that music influences you. And you're not going to serve God. It doesn't matter how old you are, listening to the wrong kind of music. You see, well, I'm not into that. I'm into C&W. Country and Western, man, that's mine. Well, what are you going to do with the words? 4 out of 5 country and Western songs are about leaving a girl down the road, or a tear in your beer, or pop a top, something that has to do with things that don't measure up to this book. I was in a meeting, and this big truck driver, he came up to me and said, "Hey." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I drive a big one." I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Yeah, Freightliner." I said, he says, "All my life." He says, "I have doubles. That means you got a tractor, you got a trailer, you got another trailer." You see a lot of times those on the road, sometimes you see triples where there's three. He says, "I live on the road." And he says, "I know." I said, maybe I was a little too tough. Maybe, because I don't listen that much to C&W to really know. I mean, you know, he said, "No," he said, "it's more like 9 out of 10. Whew. Whoa. Here's a guy that knows. He says, "You're right on, preacher. Hit it again." what you listen to in your truck, what you listen to in your SUV or in your house or wherever you happen to be. Boy, you want to serve God, you better listen to the right kind of music. You say, well, I'm not into C&W and that. I'm just into contemporary Do you know what's happened? The music that used to be in Las Vegas or over here at the casinos and stuff on the showrooms has moved into the church. Has moved right into the church. One of the largest Christian bookstores in America. Remember, honey, we walked in there? And we asked the lady. In fact, there was a section bigger than this auditorium just with Christian music. Okay, so-called Christian. Okay, bigger than this room. Much bigger. Just the music in this Christian bookstore. Huge. And we said, well, here's the kind of music we're looking for. She says, I know what you want. You describe. I got it. She says, we got a little bit. I mean, here's this huge place. She says, a second shelf in the bottom over in the corner, we got some. I said, what? She said, listen, I get really paid well here. She said, but I think I'm going to have to leave this job real soon. She says, I'll manage her. But she says, I was saved out of grunge. And she'd been into tattooing here and there and puncture here and there and everywhere and all this stuff. And she said, I was saved out of that. And she said, we sell it right here under the name Christian. Well, I want to tell you, I've met many of the famous groups on the road and the stuff that goes on before and after concerts. Boy, you need to be really careful. There's new groups every day. Lust control. You know, everybody needs that. But, you know, it's real easy to buy a T-shirt that says that I love God or I'm saved by grace, and then they sing about dancing naked or something else. There's those that are talking about God and they're homosexuals and lesbian that are number one, number two, big in the contemporary Christian music. There's churches that used to be like yours and sing songs that were based on this book. And now they have praise and worship teams up there where, you know who sings? Nobody. Except the praise and worship leaders. Of course, they really dress up because they're really on show, you know. And loving up on the microphone or whatever else. And one set of drums were one place. They weren't happy with just one. They had three. Yeah, three. Three sets of drums. And this, I want to tell you, in these last decades, the world has come in to the church. It didn't used to be so. Boy, it's real important what you listen to. You say, well, what's okay? What's okay? You say, Brother Rice, you have an iPad? I have an iPod with 80 gigabytes of music. Yeah, that's a lot of music. And then I got a Nano too. Yeah, and I got a little 2 gigabyte little tiny one that goes on the iPod. So instead of having something hanging, it just comes around the back right here and plugs right in there. And that shuffle. Yeah, and I got that one too. And you say, well, what which is okay? I'm not God. I couldn't tell you what's okay and what isn't. I want to tell you, if you have any question about it, don't. You say, well, I know that's wrong. Then leave it alone. You say, well, I know it's good. Go for it. Yeah, but there's a lot that I like that, well, it's kind of in between. Well, I just don't know. Give God the benefit of the doubt. Give God the benefit of the doubt. Don't get as close as you can. To trouble. Get away. But you got to want to. I talked about challenges, folks. It's what you watch. Hello, world. The input that we have today, the television, cable, satellite, dish, DirecTV, the web. You say, you got a web page? Listen, I was carrying computers before they had color. I had laptops when you had to have a big lap. And I had battery packs in New Guinea that I'm worn out just carrying the battery packs for them. And yeah, we got a website, goodbetterbestministries.com and stuff. But I want to tell you, there has never been so much filth available as there is today. You know what's happened? See, somebody from a home sends a child to your school. And they're young and they're tender and they learn what's right. And all of a sudden at home, there's a DVD or anything comes on. And they're watching it and there's bad words. And they say, Mama, that's bad. Mama, you shouldn't listen to that. Mom, Daddy, we shouldn't watch that. And the parents say, oh, well, that's not all that bad. Well, we can't stop now. See, the first time you see something and hear something, oh! The next time you see and hear it, whoa! The next time you see and hear it, really? Next time you see it, after a while, it doesn't bother you anymore. How is it that churches and homes like ours that used to be so close to the Lord have drifted somewhat? It's because when evil is so filthy, then bad doesn't seem so bad anymore. There's a challenge if we want God's blessings in our lives and in our homes. We need to be very careful. I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. So many boys that we meet in these homes for troubled youth, that which they have taken into their mind and into their body. The girls, we could have them lying across this auditorium if it was 20 times this big, one after another, to tell you what happened and what sin did to them. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, obey them that have rule over you. And you who are boys and girls and children here, boy, you need to thank God for parents. If they love the Lord, they want you to do right. They've got some rules. They ought to know what you do, where you're going, and what. And they say yes, no, and some things. You ought to thank God you have that kind of parent. Or you come to a church like this where you're going to be taught what's right and what's wrong. So important. They give watch for your souls as those that must give account, that they do it with joy and not with grief. Boy, it's really important. All of us. You see, Brother Rice, you're old. Well, getting there. Yeah. My dad, hey, in Omaha, was driving at 91 years of age in Omaha traffic. So, you know, hey, I might have a while yet. I couldn't, you know, be just, you know, middle-aged yet. So, you know, you never know. But the truth is, every one of us have to be accountable. You see, are you accountable to your wife? Yeah. She's accountable to me. Yeah. And my pastor, you say, Brother Rice, your pastor is so young. Yeah, he is. And you were preaching before he was ever born. Oh, yeah. But he's my pastor. And I'm in subjection to his teaching and preaching and leadership and his prayer. I was sent forth from Grace Baptist Church. We're missionaries. That's our sending home church. Boy, I want to tell you, I thank God for the Word of God and the man of God and the people that God puts in our lives to be accountable. Now there's a challenge of commitment. We gotta talk. Gotta talk things over in the family. Talk things over. Very important. To have a good ear. Are you good at listening? Say, oh, not now, Dad's busy. Come back. You know what happens? We're always busy. And so they quit coming to you. Listen, boys and girls, teenagers here, your parents are always busy. Yes. And there's times that they cannot give you their full attention. They're busy doing that. But don't give up. You keep going to them and tell. Share what's on your heart with your parents. And you parents, you better take time. Because when they get a little older, you're sure going to want them to listen and they just might be too busy. Real important. And also that we pray. You see, Brother Rice, your grandchildren, you're not with them. One's out in Oregon and two are in Texas and you're not even there. But my prayers can be there. There was a little old lady. She was died at 99 and 11 months. She almost got 100. She was in Knoxville, Tennessee area. And she prayed, I'd be in New Zealand. Her prayers, she couldn't go anywhere. She was a shut-in. But her prayers went everywhere. You see, Brother Rice, nobody will listen. My family, others, they just don't listen to me. They don't want to hear from me. Probably not. But you can pray. God wants to hear from you. God's listening. How are you? You see, one thing I know, I want her praying for me. I want his prayer. Would they say that about you? What would people in your family tell me about you as far as prayer? Well, Brother Rice, I'd rather have you praying for me than I would have my mom or my dad or my kid. Whoa. If my mother was living, she died at 91 too. But if she was here, she would know exactly where we were and where we were last week and where we're going next week. And she prayed every bit of the stop everywhere we went. How about your prayer? I mean, hey, we're talking about a bunch of different points here. I hate to go on for one, and I'm not sure if you got that one. But how do you pray for your brothers and sisters, mom and dad, your children, your grandchildren? Somebody had a great, great grandchild. Intercession. The effectual, fervent prayer availeth much. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life. He that hath to say, if you're here tonight, if you're not saved, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. I mean, you say, well, Brother Rice, what if there was an emergency, something happened, a calamity, and everybody died here? I want to tell you that you're going to live somewhere forever, either with God or away from God in punishment and judgment. Well, I'm so glad I know the Lord. Do you know Him tonight? You know, it's real important that you make sure everybody in your family knows Him. And also that you cooperate. Because what will happen, the children will come to Mom and say, Mama, can I do this? Well, you have to see your daddy. Well, I already saw him and he's had to come to you. They'll play one against the other and they'll find the one that's so softy. So what happens then is you say, well, let me talk to your mom, let me talk to your dad, we'll get together and then we'll tell you what you've done. They know you're working together. Boy, important as a family. You work together. You say, Brother Rice, won't you do anything without checking with your wife? Not much. You say, well, what if she doesn't agree? Then usually we'll just hang up and wait on that a while. You say, well, don't you ever act when she doesn't really necessarily see it or feel it sometimes. But boy, I better feel real strong about it. I better have real peace about that. Because it's important we talk things over and work things through together. Not too hard, not too soft. Now the challenge. John, do you see those ants up there moving? Do you see those ants? Do you see them up there on the screen? Everybody works in the family. Did you get that? Everybody works in the family. It's participation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. And study to do, Ralphs, put your name in there. To do your own business and to work with Ralphs own, put your name. Everybody in the family works, or you don't have a good family. You don't have the blessings. Now, when I was a boy, out in Moonkiss Corners, Nebraska, out at 118th and Dodge, I had a dog, a Wiener Schnitzel dog, a good German dog, a dachshund, dachshund, which is a badger dog, bred to go down and go down in the hole of the badgers. Yeah, and we had badgers. I trapped them out on Blondo and places and got paid, and then I taxidermied him. Yeah, years ago. Well, that was my dog. My parents would say, whose dog? Mine. Who's going to feed the dog? Mama. Not in our house. Your dog? You feed the dog. It's hot in the summertime. It's hot. They need water, fresh water. Who's going to make sure the dog has got fresh water? Mama. Not in our house. Your dog? You make sure the dog has water. Hey, y'all with me on this? Everybody has responsibilities in the family. I like fish, tropical fish. Tanks, boy, I would want a tank here. I was in a church we had, honey, up in Detroit, Royal Oak, Michigan. I had over 20 aquariums in the church. Yeah, yeah. I like aquariums in the inner office. You had to go past the secretary and a couple offices to get in my inner office. And there I had, from the Amazon River, had a fish that was piranha. Has a lot of real sharp teeth. And I raised bullheads to feed it, but I couldn't raise them fast enough because it ate lots. So I had to feed it horse meat. But you know, somebody got rumors that there was a man-eating fish in the church, and women got real nervous because all these aquariums in all the rooms. So I had to get rid of my piranha. You know. But when I was a child, when I was a boy, I had an aquarium. And you know what? I like to see it. So I had a light on the top. Now, when you have a light on the aquarium, you know what's going to happen to the glass? It gets what? Green, slimy stuff on the glass. Y'all know about that? It's called algae, right? Right? And Ralph, whose aquarium? Mine. Mine. Who's going to clean it? Mama. No, no, no. Your aquarium, you clean it. So I went down the pet store. You know what I did? I bought a Picossomus catfish. Do you know what a Picossomus catfish eats? Algae. I got him when he was real small. He got big. He got big. I fed him real good. And I had an underground filter and I had an outside filter. But after 6 months, even then I had to take all the water out and wash the gravel and put it all back. Responsibility. Everybody works, has a job and responsibilities in the home, in the family. My brother, Earl, when he got married, I got my own room. Got my own room. Whose room is this? Mine. Whose junk is all this stuff on the floor? That's not junk. Those are treasures. Whose treasures? Mine. Who's going to pick up all that stuff? Mama. Not in our house. That's your... Hey, parents, children, young people, grow up! There's a place for things. They go in their place. And so I got a bed. Whose bed? Mine. Who's going to make the bed? Mama. Uh-uh. You slept in the bed? You make the bed. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do then. I'm going to sleep on the floor. In my camp out thing that you just get in there, see him zip up. No, you sleep on the bed and you sleep in the bed. Now, you know, some of you haven't got this down too good. Now, you know, in our trailer, the left side of the bed, you face at the foot of the bed. The left side, that's my side. The right side, that's my sweetheart's side. You say, well, you know what? When I get older, nobody's going to tell me what to do, and I don't have to do anything. Why don't you grow up? So my wife, when she gets in, she gets out, it looks like nobody's been there. I don't know what happens. She just, or what? But I'm fighting the devil all night. And I'm tossing and turning and my feet are and everything, you know. And I got a project, a construction project. I got to pull this down and put that in and put this over and through that and through the other. I slept there. Yeah. And then clothes. Clothes. Say, where do those clothes belong? Wherever they land, that's where they belong. They got a place. It's called wherever they land. No. Now, if they're dirty, they go in the place where the dirty stuff goes. Y'all with me on that? Huh? If they're wearable, you're going to wear them again. Then you hang them in the hang place, or you fold them in the fold place in a drawer. By the way, did you know about drawers? Oh, they ought to learn something when they come to church, even Sunday night. Even Sunday night, you ought to learn something. You ought not just leave and not know anything more than you knew when you came. But did you know that drawers in a dresser, do you know they're made to go in? Yeah, all the way in without stuff hanging on the front. They're made to go all the way in, yeah. Or hang up stuff where it goes. You say, Brother Rice, you're older now, yeah. And the trailer, just from the side of the bed by the closet there's hooks. And on the hooks are these bags that are kind of like got little holes, mesh bags. And then the dirty clothes go in there, you know. And so you see, Brother Rice, you've had varicose veins, a lot of trouble with your legs through the many years, had to wear special shoes in Omaha, a special shoe place and stuff. Yeah, yeah. And so I've always had to wear these special socks. Said, boy, this whole pulpit moves. This thing moves. Yeah. Make sure this alarm doesn't go off because I see it's late. Yeah. So what? But we're going to have breakfast. I'm. Don't worry. So what happens? I got these support hose. Now they push in on the veins and stuff, okay? They're not fun even to put on. So when I take them off, whoop, they go into a ball. Yeah. Whoop, you missed a basket, buddy. No. No, I put it in the place it goes. You say, last night? Oh, yeah. What about tonight? Oh, yeah. I wore them. Say, hey, wait a minute. Those things have to, before they're washed, they have to be pulled out. So they're washing everything. And who's going to pull that stinking dirty socks right out? Well, they're not stinking dirty socks. They're just slightly used on a very nice body, you know. So, but yeah, I wore them and I pull them out and I put them in the place. Hey, I wonder if we had up here on the screen your bedroom, your house, your closet. You know, I'm not just talking to boys and girls here. I'm not just talking to teenagers. I'm talking to everybody. Everybody in that trailer, you say, who vacuums? I know. Who cleans the floor? Me. Who gets the cobwebs? Well, the cobwebs, they accumulate, right? But you say, well, what about that deal? Who does that? I'm supposed to do that. It's time, honey. It's time. But I want to tell you, I have some jobs. I live there. You say, what's your wife do? Look, I wouldn't trade with her for nothing. The load she's... You worth me on this? Am I getting through? Now listen, parents, I'm trying to help you tonight. And grandparents, my mom died at 91. She had so many great, 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 great grandchildren, you wouldn't be able to count them all. And she would have them help her. And she taught them. And when she died, I want to tell you, there were dozens of great-grandchildren and grandchildren that talked about, I learned how to work, I learned how to clean, I learned how to this, at grandma's side. Send everybody here, you have an influence on somebody else. You teenagers, there's somebody younger than you. They're watching you. They can learn from you. There's an influence. Everybody. You know, honey, it's real quiet here tonight. I don't know what's happening here. But there is a challenge of accountability. Take heed, Ralph, to thyself, everybody here in that circle, you, and under the doctrine. You say, well, you love the Lord. Yeah. And you started out to serve Him. Yeah. Keep on, Ralph. Keep on, Ralph. Keep on, Ralph. Don't stop, Ralph. Day by day, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now there's a broom. You see it? See it moving? Do you know what happens? There's dust that blows into our life and into our marriages, into our homes, into our families. And it takes constant, constant cleaning to get rid of it. It amazes me when I open that vacuum and dump that. How in the world? With just the two of us clean people in this little tiny RV, fifth wheel. How in the world can there be all that? But there is. It is a constant thing that in our lives and in our homes and in our families. And you know what? The cleaner you get your house, the more, oh my goodness, how long have those fingerprints been there? And look at that mirror and look at the spots over here. Oh my, how long has that been? The cleaner you get it, the more you see. Right? Now, before you start cleaning, you say, what's dirty? I don't see nothing. Hey, where's the mess? Until we put it up on the screen. Uh-oh. Well, actually, I think I could. I ask you this question. How is it with you? I'm still learning. You say, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. Yeah, but I'm not a dog. My dad, at 91 years of age, was still learning to be a husband. He was still learning to be a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather. He was still learning. And so all of us, every one of us, we need to leave here saying, oh God, help me to have more love, not just sometimes. Help me to be more patient and not get upset. Help me, oh God, to be an encourager and to have the word that will lift them up and make home. And boy, we've got trouble everywhere, but when they come home, that needs to be a place where your wounds and you get patched and you get encouraged. Oh God, help me to be that kind of person. Some of you here, would your family ask for your prayers? Say, boy, I really need somebody to pray. Would they call you? Would please pray for me. Would you be the first person on their mind? Do they catch you just pray? They don't even know that you're and you're calling their name in prayer. How is your prayer life? The Word of God in your home, not just at church. It's not just preaching, but you just take the Bible, read a verse, talk about it, and have prayer as a family. Called family devotions. Do it in the morning. Do it at night. But do it! Everybody works. And sweetheart, I'm doing a little better. We call it good, better, best. Let's never rest. All the good is better and better is best. I'm doing better. But I have not arrived yet. We still have those cobwebs. I left back in Texas. I have the stick that extends it so I can reach way up in the top without getting on a ladder. I can reach the top. Except there's the thing that holds the little fuzzies. That's back in Louisville, Texas, Dallas. Done left. So I hadn't figured out exactly how I'm going to get the fuzzies on the stick that just doesn't have anything to hold it. Maybe duct tape will do anything, right? But I'm working on it. I'm working on it. You see, when I leave here tonight, you say, well, that's done. I want to tell you, we didn't come here to see counts of love. We've been to counts of love. You say, well, you know, you've never been in a church and you just like to be in a church. And we came here that God would use us, work in us and through us, And it is my sincere desire that when I walk out that door, I will love God. My wife, who's watching me when I don't want her to. It's my desire that she sees less Ralph and more Jesus. How about you? Could you with me tonight, maybe even come as a family to the altar and pray, or just where you are, but there's something about an altar that's a wonderful place to pray for your family, your home, yourself. We ask you to draw a circle around yourself. Is there anything you say, well, nothing you said, not matter what I said, did God say something to you tonight? Hey, preacher, my watch got caught in your pulpit. See, oh, if you pull it back, that thing's still stuck on me. Look at there, I got it, honey, I got it. We're okay. This is the first time I had a pulpit that would do this. Let's all stand for prayer. Hey, we live in America. Aren't you glad we still have freedom? But it's up to us to use it in our homes, in our lives, in our families. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. You know the Lord is your Savior. Say, Brother Rice, there's one thing I do know. I know Him. I've been saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. Would you raise your hand high? Oh, I know the Lord, yes. And back down. See, Brother Rice, nobody's looking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure I've ever been saved. Pray for me. Is anyone like that? Just slip up your hand that I might see it. Pray for you this night. I wonder how many say, Brother Rice, I know the Lord. But oh boy, it's not just what you said tonight, but yeah. Yeah, I think God spoke to me about something. Maybe it wasn't on the screen and maybe you didn't say it, but I got it. I think the Lord was speaking to me tonight about something, and pray for me because you said you want to go out of here with more Jesus in and less you. Well, that's me too, Brother Rice. That's me too. That's my desire too. Pray for me. If that's you, would you slip your hand up quickly? Dear Lord, you see the many, 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 many hands. You see every person here. Thank you for those that know you and love you, have for some of them many years. Lord, I thank you for the influence that we can have that's right. We pray that the influence of the world might not rest in our homes, the world coming in through the media. Protect what we hear, what we see, everything we see and hear. It's recorded in our subconscious. Help us not to let anything in there that's wrong. Bless every family here. I didn't see anybody raise their hand for salvation, did this morning. But Lord, if there's one here not saved, I pray that they might come to an old-fashioned altar, come to the pastor, come to me and say, look, I need to be saved. We pray for our homes and families, and I thank you for these boys and girls and these young people that are here tonight. Oh God, it's a world that's dark, but the light, they can have such an influence. What a time to be alive, to serve God. What an exciting time. I pray, Lord, that we'll all choose blessings. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.